This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Showboats, Derek Sanderson from hockey, yeah, with the Boston Bruins. Neon Dion, for sure, that's good. A couple of these I can't even talk about. Okay, we have Brandy Bimslager. She's the executive director of Friends of Kids with Cancer. Brandy, good to be with you. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for having me.
So what's the goal here today?
Well, you guys are very gracious to us in providing a toy drive to help our families during this holiday season and throughout the year.
And what happens? So we're collecting presents, and we encourage everybody to get the presents here by 1 o'clock today. What happens next?
So we have a very large toy closet at our office that helps to fill all the toy closets at each of the pediatric oncology centers in the area. So we provide toys year-round for our families and for the kids going through treatment locally in St. Louis.
And I think that's a good reminder for everyone. And they can, we're going to be on the air till 1, but you can come by all day long here at this Hot Shots in Fenton. In fact, TMA is doing a live show here later tonight. So if you're driving around and you can't stop by in the next couple hours, you can come later in the day. But I think it's good to remind them that we think of Christmas and presents, but these are toys and gifts that you guys need April, May, June, July.
Throughout the year, we have toys that we give to the kids in really fun ways all year long. So every time a child goes in for treatment at any of the three pediatric oncology centers, they get to visit the toy closet that we provide, as well as their siblings. We also do a lot of fun stuff with the toys. We have what we call a toy chest program, so it's a gift every time the child goes in for radiation treatment. And I'm sure you've heard about the bell ringing celebrations that they do at the hospitals when they finish chemo treatment, and we provide a big bag full of toys and gifts to help celebrate, things like that. We do adoptive families, so there have been several families we adopted for Christmas this year and for the holidays, and we pull from our toy closet for those gifts as well. So different things to help put a smile on their face.
How many you think you distribute presents during the course of a year?
Oh, gosh, that's a large number. Our toy closet now, we just recently moved locations, and we have a brand-new toy closet, and it has aisles. So we've got our own mini Toys R Us. The treatment centers are they have a limited space, so we're constantly replenishing the toy closets there. We have, on every year, there's about 325 newly diagnosed patients in the area, and then it's a typical three-year treatment for the kids, and then they also have siblings. So it's a difficult number to put on, so I would say thousands would be a good estimate.
How did the organization start? We've, I think, in recent years heard more about Friends of Kids with Cancer, so many different cancer groups because there's so much need there. When did this one start?
We were founded in 1992, and it actually started out as a toy closet, so it's kind of our flagship product, if you will. It was the first program was our toy closet, and it just was an idea that the kids going through treatment had nothing to do at the hospitals. They're spending hours, days, months there, and were very bored. They were not feeling well, and we just needed some positive encouragement, positive distraction, and so something as simple as a toy or gift cards really makes a big difference. And then our programs really snowballed from there, and we now have over 30 programs that we provide to the patients, everything under the umbrellas of educational, recreational, and emotional support.
So that concept of giving kids presents, the brothers and sisters of the children that are also being treated, that's kind of a popular thing now.
It's very important to us that we keep the whole family included. We try to focus a lot on the siblings because they also are going through this. You know, it's their brother or sister that's fighting for their life, really. And so they often, I hate to say neglected, but the parents focus so much of their attention on the sick child, and so the siblings are there needing some support as well. And so we try to also encourage them to feel included and to reward for their bravery as well.
See, that happens when the kids are being born. I didn't know about this concept, but like, so when Brooke was born, Monique said, well, we got to get Alex a present. I said, why? It's not his, you know.
Yeah.
And then when Dom was born, we had to get Brooke and Alex a present. That's the way it works. I was kind of ticked off.
It wasn't that way back in the day.
Yeah, that's right.
That's funny.
I have to ask, we've interviewed a lot of folks over the years. I think this is the first time we've had a Bimslager on the show, which is, sounds like a drink that Hoffman would order.
Yep.
That has to be an incredibly German last name.
Very, very German. Very German. And it's often hard to pronounce, but I often say my husband was worth it. The last name is was worth it. He's a great guy, so...
Well, Brandy, we appreciate you stopping by. We know this is going to be a big success for everybody all day long. Appreciate it.
And
thank
we should
you
point
so
out that box,
support.
Yeah, Midwest Equipment, I said it earlier, they rolled in that entire box.
Oh, cool.
It's very cool. That was very generous. So we're grateful. It's been a great turnout, and we'll put the toys to very good use, I assure you.
Good stuff. All right. Let's. I think we got about a few more minutes left in this hour. What do you think of a National Signing Day in St. Louis?
You know,
not
was,
just for Mizzou, but...
It is kind of funny, all the excitement with the local kids in Mizzou gaining momentum. It has certainly changed in the last couple of years. And then I heard your stat about where they ranked in the SEC. If you're Barry Odom, it's got to be discouraging, doesn't it? You all of a sudden have people buzzing about your program, not just TJ Moe, and you got kids wanting to come here. You got St. Louis kids wanting to come here. And then they're like, hey, Barry, do you see this? We were 13th. I mean, that's just going to be life in the SEC.
Yeah.
I don't know what you would consider realistic. If you could break the top 10, and the rankings don't matter. A lot of recruits don't pan out. Mizzou's certainly seen that happen. And you can coach kids up. And
yeah. What does that say, though, if they are like 13th out of 14th in recruiting in the SEC, and they finish in the top 25 of the country? Doesn't that mean like they're overachieving, the guy's coaching them up?
Right. In a sense... If you're Barry Odom or if you're a coach anywhere, you probably want your recruiting rankings to be low and say, well, I did the best I could. You know, it's really kind of a double-edged sword. Like, oh, the AD is looking at it. That's it?
Yeah.
You can't do any better than that? Like, hey, wait a minute. Look at what I'm doing with these kids.
Now, I will say this. Those rankings do not include the transfers. And they happen to get the best grad transfer in the country,
right,
in Kelly Bryant. And they also happen to get a four-star quarterback from TCU, so that adds to the equation.
No, and I heard Jim Huer saying that earlier, that it probably should be factored in there. If you ask coaches in the SEC, rate Mizzou's class and include Kelly Bryant and Sean Robinson, they'd probably bump it up a few.
Take a guess at this. Where do you think this class would have ranked in the Big 12?
Second.
I'd say like top three, maybe.
Six.
Fourth.
Fourth.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the reality of the SEC. I mean, you're never going to be higher than Florida. You're never going to be higher than Alabama. You're never going to be higher than Auburn. I mean, you could probably say we got to do a little better than Mississippi State. Or who is 14th, by the way?
I guess Vandy or
probably Vandy.
Yeah.
We got to be better than Vandy.
If you could help deliver the CBC wide receivers once in a while, you got the CBC tight end.
That's a really good player. That Nick Ray. Nico. They had a great game at Faurot Field. He's a big target, and he wears the 87, kind of Gronk-esque, going down the middle. So we got one going there. I think what we need to do is get the Ohio State kids, now that Urban's leaving, we got to tip them and get maybe a couple of the Cams to come back home.
I just got this in. I have no idea, but it's from a pretty knowledgeable Illinois guy. He said Jeff Thomas's academics just got cleared to play. James Knight, his teammate at East St. Louis, now at Illinois, went down to Florida and talked to him, expect a decision by the end of the week. But who knows? I mean, this thing is – on all these recruits, they change their mind. It's just tough to read. It really is. Did you hear the story about this young man, Keith Randolph, the kid at Belleville West? Listen to this. This is crazy. He's a really good basketball player with E.J. Liddell. He's a big kid. And then going into his junior year, the football coach convinced him to play football. But he had never played football before. But he's big and athletic and kept getting better and better. So some schools like Wyoming got after him a little bit. And then Florida State offered him, like on the day before National Signing Day. And then he committed to Illinois. So he's maybe, these tight ends, most of them are usually pretty good basketball players too, as we've seen.
Well, I mean, the weirdest story too may have been Mark Smith, who was going to Mizzou for baseball.
You're right.
And
wow.
out of nowhere, isn't just good at basketball. He's the Illinois Player of the Year. We're talking about Chicago, Peoria, the whole state, Player of the Year, Mark Smith, ends up going to Illinois. And then back to Mizzou, where he was originally going to play baseball. Yeah, a lot of these kids, you never know. They're still so young, 16, 17 years old. Get them out there. Good for him.
Yeah, and remember that final like couple of weeks of his recruitment? I mean, you had Duke coming in. You had North Carolina coming in. Kansas was in. And poor Bruce Weber, who had actually recruited him the whole time. It was at Belleville West on a Tuesday night at 9 o'clock watching. You know, he gets, you know, the big schools move in. So.
Blown out of the water.
Yeah.
Winfield, I remember the coach sitting there with that bow tie looking sharp. I never knew why until Julian, his son, told us it was for recruiting. That when he would walk into the gym, you'd see it, you'd spot him right away. He stood out because of the bow tie. I had never heard that before. Some of the guys, like Tony Harvey, would stand out because he just had a big bag of money. He was easy to identify.
That's Kilcoin with a K. All right.
Kidding, allegedly. Kidding, joking, of course, kidding.
A couple of business items before we end this hour. Winning Streak is your place to go for uniforms. And you've probably heard about what they do for custom jerseys and apparel for travel, baseball teams, schools, and businesses. But did you know they can set up an online store with your team's custom apparel? It's a great way to raise money for your club or team and promote your brand at the same time. 888-570-6194, winning-streak.com. If you like this program, support our sponsors and get the best uniforms possible. Also, Beck Shoe Polishers. We are at that time where you got to buy that special someone, maybe someone that has everything, a special Christmas present, and I guarantee you, they don't have one of those Beck shoe polishers. It's genuine lamb's wool. It's a buffer brush. It reinvigorates and redistributes the original hand polish. You remember your dad used to have it, your grandfather used to have it. It's that black brush, that red brush. They do just spectacular work. Beck shoe polishers are available with chrome, brass, and black powder coat finishes. Go to BeckShoeProducts.com. All right, what do you have coming up in the coveted hour?
Midday Grind coming up here. We've got Brian Curtis, who writes for The Ringer website, and he's written a huge piece about how the NFL landscape really changed when Fox came on board, and he goes back in history how they outbid CBS and how CBS basically thought they would just have the NFL forever. He's got quotes in there from John Madden, Joe Buck, Terry Bradshaw, Dick Ebersole, all the key players, Paul Tagliabue. But it's really a fascinating piece. We can get into that topic a little bit with Brian Curtis. Midday Grind coming your way next.
Whoa, real quick. Whoa. Rick Pitino finalizing a deal to become head coach of EuroLeague power Panathinaikos of Greece.
Whoa.
According to Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN.
Whoa, Coach Pitino back in the game going over to Greece. Coach Pitino.
I had to get that in during this show.
Just for Frank.
This couldn't be a Midday Grind scoop. It had to be a press box.
If Gardner is listening, which is possible, that story only took like 12 seconds. Midday Grind coming right next live from the Hot Shots in Fenton.